Many of us who are good with money run the risk of being too good at delayed gratification. We put off our dream vacation, switching to a better job, or moving to the place we really want to live in the name of suffer now and have fun later. But you owe it to yourself to enjoy the present day too.
Welcome to the Work Optional Podcast, where we discuss the personal finance strategies to help you create a life where you have ownership of your time. I'm Matt, and with me is my co-host, Rachel. Today, we'll be talking about overcoming extreme delayed gratification to help you enjoy the present without sacrificing your future. Rachel, I know this was something you're excited about topic-wise, so why don't you just tell us a little bit about what kind of spurred your inspiration for this topic?
Yeah, this is something I've noticed in myself, but a lot of my clients too. So it keeps coming up that, I meet with people and I work with people who are really good with money. And really one of their issues is almost being too good with money. And I don't think we hear this topic covered that much because it's very, most of the time we're talking about, you need to save more. And most of us don't have an adequate emergency fund and we're behind on retirement. But there is this other sector of people who are actually on the other extreme. And so I always say, we don't ever want to find ourselves on the extremes or on the opposite ends of the spectrum. We want to find ourselves somewhere in the middle. So we want to talk to those people today because it is a reoccurring problem that we see. And we kind of want to talk about the mindset and how to maybe switch some of these behaviors and start enjoying the present day too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, we had a conversation before we started recording, just talking about basically how easy it is to move on to the next thing as soon as you have an accomplishment and how that kind of plays into the delayed gratification mindset too. And like you said, we always talk about from a personal finance perspective, these things that you need to do to be able to control your cash flow and save more. But in reality, I'd say most of the clients that we work with are not they're not in that phase of life. They're really just figuring out what's the best possible way to maximize every dollar, as opposed to how can I get to where I need to be from a cash flow perspective. That said, when we talk about jumping in and making sure that you're enjoying your life today, it's not like we're condoning the YOLO lifestyle of every time something comes up that you want to do, you're like, whatever, yeah. I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is taking the time to figure out what you actually want to do in the present day, not just in the future, and then using your money to kind of balance the two. With that, I mean, I know you kind of had a personal experience as far as how you grew up with money and how that shaped, your mindset today. So can you give us a little bit of background?
Yeah. So this is a topic I think about so much. Again, I mentioned how a lot of my clients go through it, but it was something I personally went through and I'm going through too, where I've realized I was a little bit too good at saving my money and delaying old gratification. And I do think, so a lot of it probably stemmed from childhood. There was a lot of adults around me who just weren't very good at managing money. And there was a lot of stress around that. And I witnessed a lot of that stress at a young age. So it definitely influenced the way that I approach money when I started to make money. I knew that I never wanted to be in a position where, I had to rely on somebody else for income, or anything with finances. So as soon as I started making my own money, I right away created a savings and an investment plan. And that's quite unusual, even with me being a finance major, to jump right into that. But I definitely saw money as a way to have control over my life. And then there was an irrational fear around money too, of I can't spend this amount, because what if something happens and I need to rely on that money? And so it really, I started to venture into oversaving, and that caused a lot of issues with, not enjoying the present day. So it's been a work in progress to really start to shift back more towards the middle of the spectrum, not spending everything that I have, but not saving aggressively either, and making sure that we find the balance, which is what, you know, this is really all about, making sure we enjoy present day while taking care of our future self. And I think one of the best ways to do this, at least for somebody who thinks like I think, is to bring numbers to the table. Because again, like I said, a lot of these fears around money are illogical. I can go on that vacation, or I can spend, you know, on a nicer place to live, and it doesn't completely derail all my future financial goals, my work optional goals. So what we do and what we can do, and what I do with a lot of my clients, is actually just run the numbers. So rather than being like, I don't feel like I can spend the money, let's see what it looks like if we do spend the money, if we do take that vacation. Does it derail your work optional goals? So one thing I like to do with clients is say, okay, if we look at this year and we shift some of the money from savings rather than saving it, and instead we spend it. And again, I say vacation because that's a really common goal that I see. So let's say we spend it on that vacation that you really want to go on. What does that do to work optional goals? And most of the time, again, with the type of people that we work with, it doesn't really have an impact. If it does, it's not even one we can really register. Some of the other things that you can look at is based on where you are today, how close are you to becoming work optional? Now, some of you might be far away still, but some of you might be closer than you think. So make sure to run those numbers, because again, it's just about creating an awareness around where you are. And you might find that you're doing a lot better than you think, and you can kind of give yourself some grace there and allow yourself to spend money on the present day too. And then Matt, one thing I want to talk about is today's an important day because we have an anniversary of Matt leaving his job. And when it comes to this type of decision-making, something I like to think about is, or something I see a lot, is clients in situations where they don't really enjoy their job. And Matt and I have already talked about this a little bit, but I think we're going to talk about it even more because we both believe that if you're in a job, maybe it's not miserable, but it's just not the type of job that you want to work for 20 plus years, then you should probably figure out a plan to get out of it, because it's just way too much time that you're spending in a job that doesn't really excite you, or at least that you enjoy. So Matt, I want to throw that over to you, kind of tell us about your experience and the way that you evaluated this.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because, you know, it wasn't the job that I left to before I started my business. It was actually my second job out of college, where I remember just sitting there, like I didn't hate the job by any means, but I wasn't challenged or fulfilled in any way. And I can just remember vividly sitting at my desk and thinking, like, there's just no way that this is all there is to life, like that I'm just supposed to do this for 20 or 30 years and to just like take my week long vacation and enjoy the weekends. Like, I was just like, there's just no way that this is how it's supposed to be. So it wasn't like I immediately made that switch then to starting my own business. As you mentioned, today's the 1 year anniversary of when I left. It was my last day at my job before jumping in and going all in on the business. And, you know, before I did that, I think this is what, you know, as you mentioned, like, you're probably a lot closer than you think you are to having like the optionality to either start a business or take a year off of work. For one, like, yeah, starting a business is maybe a little bit bigger of a risk than taking a year off, simply because if it fails, you know, it's just a little bit more of money down the drain, I guess you could say. But, you know, when you think about it, if you wanted to take a year off of work to kind of figure out what you want to do, a year in the grand scheme of things is like a blip on the radar. But when I was basically evaluating, when I finally got to the point where I said, okay, I want to start my business, when I was evaluating it, I was like, what do I have in basically like investments right now? What do I have, like bonuses coming in, cash in the bank, my fiance's income? Like, what does that all look like? How much do I need to run the business to get started up? And then, you know, how is that going to essentially like drain my investments and my cash as I am running it with basically no income coming in? Yeah. So the way that I thought of it was like, I wanted to have around a 2 to 3 year cash runway, because in my mind, that was like, if I can't do it in 2 or 3 years, then that probably means like wasn't meant to be. But you know, I think that's where a lot of people make the mistake, is they just, before they run any numbers or like really logically think through it, they just kind of dive in. And then that's why you see these statistics about, like, you know, so many businesses failing in the first year. So that's one of the biggest things, is just actually getting real life numbers put in front of you and seeing how they're going to play out, because passion's a great thing, but you can be passionate about whatever you want, but if you don't have the means to actually make it happen, your passion's going to evaporate pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's a great point. I say with pretty much anything that I take on, and obviously one of the biggest things I took on was starting my own business, but I always want to give myself a long runway. And I think, what's that saying where they say people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in 5 years or 10 years.
Right.
And I think that's true with any new thing that you want to try out, is give yourself, you know, the best runway that you can. And I know that can be difficult. You know, when you mentioned saving 2 to 3 years cash, that's a lot. But of course, you probably figured out ways to bring down your living expenses. And so that became a bit more affordable. But that is, you know, what I did too. And when we talk about some of these goals and work optional goals, I always like to emphasize, like, there are different levels to financial freedom and to being work optional. So we look at it like, well, we have my freedom number, and once I hit that, then I will be financially free. I'll be fully work optional. And that's, while that's true, I also think there are different levels until you fully get there. And one of the levels being, I don't have to work for 1 year because I have savings. I have the cash to where I can cover my living expenses for 1 year, or, you know, preferably longer than that, while I try something else. So I like that when we're thinking about leaving that job or wanting to try something differently, give yourself that cash runway to really go for it. Because to Matt's point, it's probably going to take longer than you think. But once you do get there, and say you've started to see a little bit of success, or you're starting to realize, okay, this thing is going to work, then we again have to remember to stop and enjoy that moment. Because we see this all the time with business owners who hit that next milestone, that next achievement, and then just kind of dive back into like the next goal without really taking the time to enjoy how far they've come. And Matt, I want you to talk about this, because I think it's something you've been thinking about quite a bit, especially with a recent milestone you hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's just so important to actually realize, like, when you hit the milestone, to take a step back and be like, wow, like, everything that I did, like, over the last, whatever the time frame is, for me, it was a year. I'm like, everything that I did over this past year led me to this moment, and I need to enjoy it. But I know that I don't do a good enough job of it. But I also think it's something that is pretty inherent in executives, business owners, and just high achievers in general. You know, as soon as we hit something, it's like, that just created the next challenge, or that now you're going through growing pains. And this is what we were talking about before we started recording, is like, so I just hit the 1 year of like actually starting to work on the business, but it's still a little bit short of like when I was officially registered. But I finally hit the point where like now I am like profitable, and I don't have to worry about the business failing, and as long as I don't lose every single one of my clients in the next couple of weeks. But with that just brings a bunch of new challenges and growing pains. And, you know, I transition from like, oh my gosh, I'm working every single day as hard as I can to get to this point of like being profitable so I can take my foot off the gas pedal. And then you hit it and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to keep the momentum going. And yeah. I literally last night was like, I can't tell you the last time I took a day off of working like completely. And that's not to promote this like hustle culture. It's just that's what was necessary for me to get to where I am. And then I hit that profitability milestone, and I was like all excited. And then, you know, another client comes along, or something comes up in the business where now like you went from kind of dealing with these problems that you were getting used to dealing with and like dealing with them efficiently And now you just created a whole different set of challenges for yourself that now you're not allowing yourself to take that break or smell the roses because you need to figure out all the solutions to these new problems. And that is something that I feel like is just like directly related with delayed gratification is being able to step back and see like, yes, I hit this. Let me give myself a moment. Because if you don't, you're going to end up burnout. Like we were saying, last night I went to bed at 7:45 and it was like, I was just so happy to be in bed and like that. But as I was like sitting there before I went to bed, I was just thinking, I was like, okay, this is not what the goal was. Like, this was not what I had in mind when I decided to start the business. Obviously I knew there were going to be periods like this, but this is not something that I can let basically be the norm. So like you obviously are ahead of me in terms of like when you started the business and just like profitability revenue wise, you know, talk about what you kind of went through in like those different stages and maybe like the challenges that you're facing now.
Yeah. So I very similar to where, I mean, the amount of like stress that I felt when starting the business until you get that first client or first few clients is unbelievable. And you know, you're stressed, but you really realize it when you're on the other side too. And you feel like you can breathe and you're like, wow, that was rough. Like I wasn't sleeping. It was like occupying every thought that I had. But something kind of interesting actually is, you know, I love being a business owner. I love personal finance. I love all of this, but I also have other hobbies, right? Like Matt and I were just talking about how I'm kind of getting back into running and I'm like starting to research that. And before, you know, I got to this point where I felt like the revenue had really built up in the business and like it was fine, I would start to think about running and like wanting to get into that and let myself research it and really obsess over it, and always stopped myself because I knew like I couldn't afford to direct any attention away from the business. So something surprisingly that was a little bit hard is once I saw success in the business and once it was like, okay, we can kind of like take our foot off the pedal, I still found it hard to let myself, you know, explore these other hobbies, these other things that I'm really interested in. And I think I see that too with people with money. They're afraid to take their foot off the gas. They're afraid to decrease their savings rate. I know I was terrified of that, but we convince ourselves that like, we're not ready yet. Not quite yet. One more year, then I can take my foot off the pedal. And it's a very dangerous mindset to get into because I've seen it over and over again where people have said, I'm going to work just one more year. I need just another, you know, $500,000 before I retire. And then now they're retiring way later than they ever wanted to. Now they can't take that vacation that they wanted to take because their health declined or something happened. And so there's a lot of risk. And again, we have to think about risk in different terms. There's risk in delaying everything. And so this happened to me personally too, where there were some trips I wanted to take. I really love traveling and I love backpacking. You know, I like, when it comes to the way I like to travel with my dream travel is like a nice flight, an upgraded flight. But then when I get there, I slum it and I go to like, you know, dive restaurants and hole in the wall restaurants and not like the nicest accommodations because I really like that. But that requires, like, I'm not going to do that at 65 years old. You know, I'm not going to sleep in a hostel at 65 years old and backpack around. So I really wanted to backpack Southeast Asia. And I've been delaying it for years. Again, focus on the business, which there is some logic to that. I really did need to focus on the business and put my money into the business. But now that I've hit that point where I don't need to be in survival mode anymore, I'm starting to come out of that and force myself to exit the survival mindset too and say, you can afford this vacation. You can afford to live in this area. And if you're not careful, you'll never exit that survival mode. And I think we're very lucky to be in a position to where we see people kind of in this mindset. And then it makes us reflect back on us of, am I doing this too? I don't know if I didn't help other people solve this problem, if I would have solved it myself. So you have to think about, again, the risk of delaying old experiences. There are things that you can only do today. And for anybody who has young children, or family, I think they will understand this point too. You know, your children at some point will grow up, they'll leave the house. So those family vacations that you really want to take, you know, there's definitely a limited amount of time to where you can take those. And it might not be worth saving an extra 5% to delay that vacation. And then again, you know, we talk about this all the time, but spending a big portion of your life at a job you hate, I just can't emphasize enough how not worth it is. And there's a lot of different routes out of that. Often it's just finding a better job, and maybe you can look at even a lower paying job, but that you enjoy more, and just see how that impacts work optional goals. I know, Matt, again, like you have some experience here. I do too. My first job was just the same way, to where I didn't feel challenged or fulfilled. And I remember sitting there at my desk too, thinking, yeah, I can't, I there's just no way I can do this forever. And at the time, I kind of thought my way out of it was like the FIRE movement and really aggressively saving and retiring just as early as I can. But the thought of being in a position like that, being in a job like that for the next 20, 30 years, it's like, there's no way I can't do this. So yes, work optional status and saving aggressively can kind of help you to leave a bad situation, but I don't ever think it's worth it to stay at, you know, in a job or any situation where you don't enjoy it for an extended period of time. I know, like I said, Matt, you have a lot of experience here too.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest thing to think about is like, do you like, because this is what I would say probably the majority of people do is like, we spend decades preparing for this future that realistically, as morbid as you like might think it is, like isn't guaranteed. Like anything can happen. You know, like I think the statistic is like once you hit 20 years old, like 25% of people will experience a disability event between then and normal retirement age. So obviously, like the length or severity of that disability varies, but you know that there's a very good chance that like that or some kind of other accident happens, and like now you spent you know however many years it was being unhappy in a job or saving you know more than you needed to because you had this dream of like you're gonna hit that vacation or you're gonna take time like time away from work to spend more time with family. You had that all in your mind for the future, and then like it can be taken away by something completely outside of your circumstances. And I think that is something like that has been on my mind a ton lately is like we overestimate how much is really in our control. Like there's just so many variables outside of our control that can completely like derail plans that we have. One of my favorite quotes is men make plans and God laughs. Because that's what happens. Like you need to be prepared to be fluid in any situation, but you also need to remind yourself that like if you want to go on like a $3,000 vacation or something, which like maybe that's cheap for like a family or something. I honestly can't tell you what it is, but like for me, like for myself and my fiance, like maybe we want to go on a $3,000 vacation. Like in the moment, that seems like a lot, but like in the grand scheme of things, that $3,000 is not going to be what decides whether I'm going to be able to retire in the future or not. But it is going to help me like rejuvenate, and it's going to give me an opportunity to do something that I love with someone who I love. And like that really is what we're working for, like for money. Like that's the whole purpose of what money is. So that doesn't mean that we need to wait until 20 years down the road to do it, you know, do it today. Find the balance. And that's really where I think financial planning comes in is people don't want to do things because they're just not sure how it's going to affect their long-term plans. And when you actually sit down, this just goes back to earlier when we were talking about running the numbers, like take the time. If it is working with a financial planner or if like you feel comfortable enough to do it yourself, just get those numbers in front of you, see what it actually looks like. And that's what's going to give you the confidence to do those things, or maybe it doesn't work like to the degree that you want. Maybe you just scale it back a little bit. Maybe it's taking 6 months off of work. And like obviously, like when we say taking off of work, we're not just saying taking off and sitting there and doing nothing. We're talking about like finding something.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. but like finding something that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
So then that way, you know, I think I wrote it in a thread today. It's like, you know, it's probably going to be difficult for a long time, for a year or more, and where you're going to have to make sacrifices in your life. But in the grand scheme of things, don't you think sacrifice and like dedication over a couple years is worth setting yourself up for the rest of your life? Like when you think of it in that term, I just don't know how you could not want to pursue like enjoying things or doing things that are going to put you in a better position.
Yeah. Well, and also work aside, like there is this kind of popular thing or idea of mini retirements in the financial independence community now too. And I love it. I love this community because it's constantly challenging traditional retirement and coming up with like all these new, unique ways of living, really. And, you know, one of them is saving aggressively and retiring as soon as you can, which, you know, may work out, but if you spend any time on like the financial independence Reddit, you see most of the time people are not happy after they've done that. But I do really like the idea of like mini retirements or taking some time off. Now, of course, there's a caveat here that like, I don't know how it will impact your career. If you take a year off, I can't guarantee that when you go back that it's going to be easy. But I have seen just from experience that a lot of people, they took a year off. And again, it wasn't to like start a side hustle or start a business, but it was to go travel the world or do something they really wanted to do. And they were surprised that when they went back to work, not only could they get back into it, but they actually ended up making more money because during that year off, they were able to like take a step back and take a breath and figure out what they really wanted to do. And for a lot of them, it was entrepreneurship. And they realized, I really like, this is what I've been doing every day for years, but I really enjoy this. And they kind of let themselves explore that. And without that pressure, because again, you take this year off and you've financially prepared for it, without that pressure of, I need an income right away and I need a paycheck, it can really allow you to start to figure out what you really want to do. So I think for many people, it surprised them that this mini retirement, the sabbatical has not completely derailed their plans. And in fact, it actually helped them progress even quicker because they took a moment to figure out what they really wanted from life, from a career, and how they wanted to make income. So I like that idea too, if you plan for it.
Yeah. And that was, you know, one of the things, and this, like you said, we can't guarantee what the result is going to be if you take some time off to start a side hustle or start a business. But one of the ways that I think of it, and like, this is something that I preach a lot too, is like, I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist. Like there's a chance that it doesn't work out. So what happens if that, you know, if that materializes? And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I start this business, it fails. What is my next step? Realistically, I still have all the same skills that I had that earned me a six-figure salary running my own department beforehand. I didn't lose any of those. If anything, I got more experience from an entrepreneurship perspective, and I was forced to learn things that probably less than 1% of people actually have experienced. Yeah. So it's like, if anything, yeah, I set myself back in terms of like the money that I spent on the business when it did and it didn't work out. But I just can't imagine that I couldn't then come back and use the skills that I learned and the same skills that I had before to basically get back to where I wanted to be.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you have some like really aggressive entrepreneurs who are like, burn all of your plan B options. Don't let there be a plan B. I don't think that works for everybody. You know, I think for me, there was some comfort in knowing, okay, this doesn't work. I can get a job and probably a really good job because now I've like put myself out there. To Matt's point, I've increased my skills. I know all these other things now that I didn't know before. But at the same time, you know, I wasn't burning my plan B, but plan B going back and being an employee was really unattractive to me, to be honest. So that was just more motivation to make plan A work. I knew in a worst case scenario that I would be fine, but I didn't want that second scenario. I didn't want it at all. And the more you like hate that second scenario, I think that the better your motivation is and the more work that you'll put in. I really realize that. I think that's why so many, you'll hear so many entrepreneurs that's like, I hate working for somebody else. I hate somebody having ownership over my schedule, my time, my whatever. When you hate something that much, you will find a way to make it work on your own.
Yeah, it's easy for us to say sit here and be like, oh, like you can go back to your job. But if I'm being completely honest, I can remember sitting there the one day, I'm like just so stressed because I have no clients or anything coming in. I'm sitting there with my head back, my eyes closed, and my mom's like, so like what happens? Because my mom is like a big pessimist. She's always thinking worst case scenario. But she's like, so what are you gonna do if like you run out of money and like you can't sustain the business? And I'm like, she's like, are
That's
you
what you wanted to hear then.
Exactly. She's always the voice of reason, but she's like, are you gonna go back? And I was like, hell no.
Still no.
I was
No,
like, no,
but
nope, I'll figure it out. Like, I
yep.
just no way. Because at that point, after tasting the control and like the freedom that I
Exactly.
had, I was like, I'm virtually unemployable because I just
Yeah.
can't imagine going back to a scenario where someone tells me when I
Yeah.
need to be at work, when I can do things and when I can't. So yeah,
Yeah.
like you said, the more that plan A or plan B terrifies you or that you hate it, the more motivation you're gonna have to make it work.
Yep. Yeah. And I say plan B was like just going back to work. Honestly, a lot of times I thought, okay, like what could I do on the side so I can keep trying? Because my one thing was like, I can make this work. I just need the time. And obviously, money is the thing that's going to impact how much time you have. So say I run out of money, say my income really decreases. What like is there like a side job that I can take on? Can I go like work at a coffee shop on the weekends? Can I go move into like a lower cost of living area? That was really what I was thinking about rather than going to work a full-time job. Again, was increasing my runway and how can I give myself more time? I think it's Hormozy who was like his plan B was I'll do Uber on the side until I figured this out. So I was thinking that too. Like I can't if I go back full time to work, I can't put this that much time into the business. And I know I can make this work. I just need the time to do it. So I know we went a little bit of a rant there, but when it comes to entrepreneurship and everything, it's all about runway. But when it comes to delayed gratification, once you've gotten out of that survival mode, once you're like, oh, this is going to work, then you do need to make sure you take some time to enjoy it and maybe explore the other interests that you have. Look at things that don't make money. Something I'm very careful with now is like everything that I get into, I have this thought of like, how can it be monetized? And I have to turn that off and enjoy things just for the sake of them. I do think there's a negative aspect to trying to monetize something that you really enjoy. So be careful with that too. Sometimes the goal is just to do things. The goal is not this will increase my savings rate. This will get me to work optional even sooner. But just enjoy. And again, yeah, money is required to get to that point, but just be aware when you do get there.
Yeah, I know. Like you said, I think we went on a little bit of a tangent, I guess more so related to entrepreneurship than delayed gratification, but I think that they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So, and I think that a lot of people that are going to be listening to this podcast are going to be people that are looking for like an entrepreneurship route or some other type of work optional goal where the principles that apply in entrepreneurship also apply to that becoming work optional goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do you have anything else? I think that wraps us up.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. We really hope this episode helps you find your own delayed gratification balance. Make sure you enjoy the present and take care of future self. As always, thanks for listening to Becoming Work Optional. If you enjoy the show, please consider giving us a rating, a review, or subscribing on whatever platform you're listening on. And be sure to come back next week where we will be talking about restricted stock units.
Yeah.
Matt is an expert in that, so I'm really excited to kind of treat it like an interview and pick his brain on that. You could find me on rachelcampwealth.com. That is my website. Twitter is camp_wealth, and then basically Camp Wealth everywhere else for YouTube, Instagram. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, find me at my business website, unrivaledwm.com, and then on pretty much any other platform, Matthew_Garrisick. Looking forward to next week, and have a good one.
Yeah, see you next time. For educational and informational purposes, and because everyone's situation is unique, you should consult with the appropriate professional before enacting any of the information you may hear in this podcast. You should not construe any such information or material as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. This content is provided as is, and although the material is believed to be accurate, no representations are made that the content is error-free.